Hi, you are listening to Record of Change. My name is Matthias and I'm your host for this episode. I'm talking to you from Berlin in Germany, where despite a growing percentage of people that are vaccinated, the corona numbers are growing again. It's an uncertainty that gives this summer a bitter flavor. In today's episode, we listen again to Durance from Yaoundé, the capital of Cameroon. 2 years ago, I visited Durance at the healthcare center she runs alongside her partner, and I did witness myself what impactful work they do to the neighborhood while providing basic healthcare. A strong memory of this visit to Yaoundé are also the taxi rides. As there's no proper public transportation, people rely on taxis. And most taxis would drive along the big streets of Yaoundé, having passengers hopping on and off. This means you would easily share your ride with 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 other passengers. And now, if you imagine this taxi to be not bigger than a VW Beetle, you will get a sense why I'm sharing this here. It's quite the opposite of social distancing. Now, let's listen to Durance. In today's episode, she will share with us what challenges the pandemic brought to her as an individual, as a mother, and to Cameroonian society at large. Hey, good afternoon. Good to hear you. How are you?
I'm doing well. Presently, I'm at the clinic at Quality Healthcare.
You had the last talk with us for our podcast in March. What happened since then?
Since then, it's been okay. Things have been slow, but in spite of that, we are moving on steadily. So the pandemic is still there, even though the strict measures and the fear, the fright, it's no longer as it was back then. So people are more relaxed now, people are out and about.
So what is the situation of the pandemic around you? I mean, are still cases recorded?
So far, from March last year until now, we've recorded roughly 81,500 cases so far. And so many people have not gone for testing. But from statistics, that's what we have so far. And we have close to about 1,000 dead.
What is your estimation? How high is the percentage of people that don't get tested?
The percentage of people that don't get tested, I think as much as about 60% of our population is not tested. People really do not want to get tested, especially that the fear, the testing measure, you have to send the specimen tube to the nostril and things like that. So we have people who even think that when the specimen tube is sent into your nostril, it's instead the COVID which is being sent. So because of that, many people don't even want to go through the test.
Would you say there's a certain fear around you, or is it just ignoring, or how would you describe it, or what kind of title would you give it?
Well, I just think that it's misinformation and fear that is stopping people from getting tested. Also, there is lack of trust between the population and the government. So a lot of what is going on, the measures put in place by the government, the population, there's really that lack of trust, which as a result of that, most of the recommendations that are put forth by the government, the population does not even take it into consideration, because many people are like, the authorities really do not care about the people. So there is really nothing which the government could do for their good.
Can you give us a short insight of why there is such a mistrust towards the authorities?
Well, first, we have a lot of political issues going on in the country now. Our president, firstly, has been in power for so long. He has been in power for about 38 years now. And the population wants to have a change of power. And most of the authorities that are there are really incompetent. So not just saying, but if you really have to listen to what they say, you think about how they tackle issues in the country and things like that, most of the authorities are really incompetent and they are also very, very old. More so, the president has been so silent. The president has been silent for a long time. So people are confused. People don't know if he's still there or not. So much has been going on, but no one is really seeing the president actively taking part in conversations that are going on in the country. So people just don't trust the government anymore. We have health issues which are not being taken care of. We have challenges with water. We have roads that are bad and things like that. But the government seems to be turning a blind eye to all the issues that the populations are concerned about. And also we have the war that is going on in the Anglophone regions of the country, in the Northwest and the Southwest regions of the country. So the government too is not really putting in place measures to resolve the conflict that's going on in those regions. It's been there for about 4 years now, but the government is really not putting in place measures to resolve the conflict. So because of that, there is a lot of mistrust between the people and the government.
Yeah, of course. And now coming back to the pandemic, so when people are afraid of getting infected or afraid of being tested positive, what is the situation of vaccination rollout in the country?
With the vaccine, we have about 0.1% rate of vaccination in the country. So I have a colleague who actually works at the vaccination center. So most days she comes back without vaccinating just anybody.
How come?
So the rate is really low. Many people are skeptical about the vaccine as well. Just like the misinformation that is still going on social media about the vaccine. People who have taken it are going to pass away and things like that. So most people are staying away.
Who is getting the vaccination first?
At the moment, given that there are not so many people who are going for the vaccine, priority was initially given to health workers. But given that there are not so many people who are going to get the vaccine, just anybody who needs it could go for it.
Do you know anyone who would get vaccine?
Oh, yes. I know there are about 5 to 6 of my colleagues who have been vaccinated. I have a friend of mine. She got vaccinated. She's abroad. It was actually obligatory for the company where she works. So the day she went for the vaccine, she just came back and she sent me a message like, oh, she just took the first shot and right now she's writing her will. To me, it was so funny. I told her like, no, don't worry, you're not going to die. Nothing is going to happen to you. She's actually from here. So being abroad and all the stories that are going on about the vaccine, she was so scared like, oh, since she has been forced to take the vaccine, probably she's going to be a victim. Until now, I haven't taken the vaccine because I got infected with COVID and it is recommended that we have to stay for up to 6 months to ensure that we are completely healed before we get vaccinated.
How did you find out and how was that experience for you?
Oh, it was really a horrible experience. It was a horrible experience, really. The way I felt, I wasn't hospitalized though. I was just in the house. So I had this headache that wouldn't go away. I just felt so tired. I felt extremely tired and I started having breathing difficulties, but it was mild. I actually took the tablets at home and I took some traditional herbs too. I took a lot of traditional herbs in addition to the tablets that I took.
And then how long did you stay at home?
The period when I was sick, it lasted about a week. When I was really down, it lasted about a week. I stayed at home for about 3 weeks. Yes, it was about 3 weeks that I stayed at home.
And then you and me, we have something very important in common. We are parents of very young kids. We both became parents kind of the same time last year. I can imagine if you got infected, you were extremely worried about your kid, weren't you?
Oh, yes. I was really, really frightened when I started presenting the symptoms of COVID. So the day I went to get tested, I went with my son.
Mm.
And when I went there, they collected the specimen for me, just for me. So I was so worried. I was like, but what about my son?
Yeah.
They told me, no, your baby is still too young and we really cannot get him tested. For me, it was, and at that time, my son was having a cold too. So I was really worried. I thought my son too was infected with COVID. So they told me my son was still young, and so when they gave me medications, I thought they were going to prescribe something for my son, but they still told me no, there was really nothing which they could do for my baby because he was still very young. So all I had to do was to just trust them. And when I went back home and I was taking my medications, since I couldn't give them to him, I had to give him some of the concoctions, some of the traditional herbs that I was taking. So I just couldn't bear it. Looking at my son, he had a cold and I was infected. So in my mind, I was just like, my son too is infected. So I just wanted to do anything for my son to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but he wasn't really presenting with any severe symptoms apart from the cold that he had.
And how about your husband? Could you separate from him?
He too, he's a nurse, but he was okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, though we took the treatment together, but he was okay.
That must have been very difficult. And then how was life after it? I guess it's a weird feeling when you're at home hoping that everything goes well. And then is it kind of rebirth after?
Oh, yes. Now it feels so, it really feels good to be able to, I could say that in my country right now, we are living our lives like we used to live before the pandemic. Like the barrier measures are not really so strict. They are, we have very few people who are wearing masks, very few people who are keeping the 1 meter distance and things like that. People are going to the party, they are going to the club, going to the market, going to church, everywhere. So it really feels nice. Back then when I was infected and staying indoors, I just felt like my life had come to an end. I felt like maybe things were never going to go back to normal. I just kept wishing that it would all be over and would go back to our normal lives.
Yeah. And is there anything positive that you would say you learned out of this experience?
Yes. I learned with the experience. It was a bitter experience, but that moment actually made us, my husband and I, to see the value of staying together with loved ones, sharing quality moments and checking up on each other. Because that distance made us, it created that emptiness, like you really want to reach out to people, you want to be with them face to face in one room, talking and laughing and shaking hands and hugging each other. But we just couldn't do that. And the period before the pandemic, we had all the occasions to do that, but we really did not put in as much importance as was necessary. So this moment, it was like a call to action. Like we came to realize how important it is to create time for our loved ones. Something negative that came out of it. Solitude is really something which no one would want to endure. And with my work, not being able to meet up to the needs of our patients like we used to do normally, not being able to fully cater for them, it was very painful. A patient would call us like, I need help in my house, but we couldn't do that. We couldn't go to their homes to take care of them.
So I remember how busy the neighborhood was, and how patients just dropped in, and You said it's back to normal. Is COVID a topic for them? Is it something they ask you about?
Oh, no, no, no. In the country, actually, the government put in place, there were particular centers where people had to go to for treatment.
Mm-hmm.
So even if a patient came to us back then and we realized that they had symptoms, then we were to refer them to those centers that were put up by the government. And one thing, during the pandemic, so many people weren't going to the hospital anymore,
mm-hmm.
because they were afraid that they would, even if they have malaria or they have typhoid fever, they were going to be diagnosed with COVID. So most of them just decided to stay away.
I feel like the way you talk about the pandemic is something in the past.
Oh, Matt, you see, like I told you in the beginning, here in the country, it's like everything has gone back to normal. So sometimes it just makes us feel like the pandemic is over. Like we're back to our normal lives. Because if you look on the streets, people are playing. We have children playing outside. We have people shaking hands, people walking hand in hand and things like that. Nobody wearing masks, actually. So if you are here now, like you came here 2 years ago and you saw people living together, doing things together, that is how we are now. So not many people are actually following the barrier measures anymore.
Oh.
Yeah. So sometimes I really do forget when people are talking about, oh, COVID again. Many people are like, oh, but COVID is already over. We don't have COVID anymore.
You hear me speechless a little bit, to be honest.
Oh, yes. I'm getting you. Yeah. You're so surprised about it. And I'm sure that when you were here, you saw that we would carry about 6% in a taxi.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. So that is still the same thing now. So that's how it is now. When the pandemic started, the government had actually put in place strict laws. The taxis were not to carry more than 3 people.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So now we have 6 people in the taxi or sometimes even more.
Yeah, wow. But aren't there people that would follow news from other countries where there are new variants of the virus spreading and it's getting more difficult to tackle it, even with vaccination?
Oh, yes. There are people who are following the news and they're actually worried about it. But the tendency now is that most people do not want to follow the news anymore.
Hmm.
And also, given that the crisis did not affect people here so much as they thought,
mm-hmm.
many people have in mind that it was fake. So they just feel like the whole story about COVID-19, it was all made up.
Mm.
And that's why even when they hear on the news like a new variant of the virus and things like that, no, they don't want to take it seriously. And also people got traumatized by statistics and things like that. So many people, like our patients, when they come here and we want to tell them about barrier measures and COVID issues, they're like, no, they don't want to hear anything about COVID anymore. Because here at the clinic, we still keep the measures.
Yeah.
So we still have all our clients who are coming in are supposed to wear a mask. We have sanitizers. We have a running tap, which they're supposed to use. And we still have to keep the distance just as before. So most people are actually surprised. You'd hear them asking you like, but COVID is finished. Why do we still have to follow these measures? So until now, there are so many people who would tell you that they don't know anybody who has had COVID.
Yeah.
So to them, COVID really did not exist.
And then would you share your personal experience of being infected?
Oh, yes. I have shared my experience several times with various patients. I have. But they'll still look at me and they'll be like, but we thought everyone who is infected would pass away, but here you are and things like that. So
I get why people wouldn't trust a government that has a president who's in power for 38 years and so on. But if they don't trust a nurse they go to, who would they trust?
to be honest with you, our healthcare system is very weak, to say the truth. Even though we are trying to, the young graduates are trying to make a change, but there is a lot of education that needs to be done in order to gain trust.
I mean, every one of us has had the experience of someone in the family would maybe not trust the media or trust the information. And so did you have this experience of you have to tell your own family or the wider family how to protect themselves?
Oh, yes, I did. My family, they really, really started following the measures when I got infected. So when the pandemic started, my parents were so worried, given that I am a health worker on the field. So they were so worried. They even recommended I stop working for some time, but it's my job. How am I going to stay away from work? So as time went on, they weren't really seeing the people who were getting infected by the pandemic. So just like every other person, they stopped following the measures. And when I kept saying it, they were like, no, it was all fake and things like that. So when I got infected and I was going through pain, and they too saw how I was in pain, that was when they started taking it seriously. And my dad would actually call people like, you need to take this very seriously. I have seen my daughter who has been infected. And he too, he was really very careful about it.
But it's not anymore.
Yeah, not anymore. Not anymore. You see, one thing too that happened is that since many people didn't die from it, people see it like it was ordinary, something like malaria or typhoid fever, that you're going to get infected and you get treated and you get well. Especially in the villages, for example, many of those who had the symptoms, they took the traditional herbs and they were relieved. So they would just like say that if just the ordinary traditional herbs could heal them, then it wouldn't stop them from going about their day-to-day activities. They are not going to go hungry because of COVID when they know that they have herbs that could heal them. So people just decide to go about their activities.
You know, we always ask our interviewees, what do you expect for the next month to come? Because in most of the spots that our interviewees are in, the pandemic is affecting their lives a bit more than yours. So we can always ask, how do you foresee the next month to be like? So for you, I just see it, it's enjoying being back to normal and getting vaccinated, and that's it. Is that a fair conclusion?
Well, to be honest with you, in the context where I am, it's a fair conclusion. It's a fair conclusion. Sorry to say that, but that is how we are living now. We are living like we used to live before. On the streets, we have just about 1 in 30 people who could be wearing a mask.
I mean, on the one hand, I'm happy for you that is possible. I'm a bit jealous that people do it, but also but much more than both of this, I'm hoping that it's gonna be fine. Thank you very much, Durant.
Thank you too, Matt.
This was episode 3 of our 5th season of Record of Change with Durant Tanakil from Yaoundé, Cameroon. If you liked this episode or Record of Change in general, we would love to hear your feedback, and even more if you would like to share our podcast within your networks. Follow us on your favorite podcast provider or on social media such as Facebook, Twitter, or our website recordofchange.com. This podcast is implemented with and by members of the Bosch Alumni Network, a community that brings together current and former fellows, grantees and staff members of the Robert Bosch Stiftung and its partners. Thank you for listening.